بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين. روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, I've been given a difficult topic to talk about. It's the topic of the sacrifice of great ulama, those who have put their lives on the line for Islam. Later on, history will judge you and I by what we did and what we didn't do, by the sacrifices we made and what we didn't make. What I'd like to talk about today are the principles by which you can judge us, we can judge ourselves, we can also see who is truly representing the faith of Islam and those who are not representing the faith of Islam. One difference that I'd like to talk about in the beginning is this. What is the difference between a secular leader and a divine leader? What is the difference between the leadership of Anbiya, of prophets, and the inheritors of the Anbiya, those righteous ulama, and everyone else? One big difference is that divine leadership believes in what it is preaching. Divine leadership believes in what it is preaching. I want to give some examples, one from the Holy Quran, some from the life of the Holy Prophet, for it to be very clear for us. And again, may Allah give all of us the tawfiq to live up to these examples, because on the Day of Judgment, will be judged. This first one is from Surah Baqarah. So verse number 285, one of the verses. Now what you and I know is this. When it comes to non-divine leaders, everybody gives slogans. We give slogans as mu'mineen. They give slogans. Wonderful slogans. Normally in America, I'm from America, we know before the presidential campaign, they're going to give us a lot of wonderful things. They're going to say they're going to do this, do that. But then afterwards, it's business as usual. For instance, Obama, when he came in. When Obama came in, there were big claims. People were crying. If you look at the faces of those who voted for him, they were crying, thinking he's going to bring about change. But then he came in, business as usual. One of the things people were surprised about, Trump, was this. Afterwards, he was still making the claims that I'm still going to build a wall. I was looking at the newspapers as though they were like, why is he so focused on the campaign promises? We know with secular leadership, you promise one thing, what you deliver is something else. What about divine leadership, the leadership of the Anbiya? The verse of the Quran, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The Prophet believed in that which was sent down from his Lord, and the believers also. What does this mean, that the Prophet believed? The Prophet, as you know, what we've heard from the life of our Prophet is that he was offered, he was given wonderful offers by Quraysh to abandon his way. Nowadays, they use the policy of the carrot and the stick. One side they threaten you, one side they offer you the dunya. They offered the Prophet many things, promises, what we will do, abandon the way. And our Prophet said that if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, that either I will carry out this mission or I will be killed, I'll become a shaheed. That's what divine leadership is like. The Prophet believes in this mission. Divine leadership doesn't take advantage of the ignorance of people. It won't take advantage that people don't know what's happening and use any means, whatever means, of pushing its mission forward. Rather, divine leadership looks at principles. Once when our Prophet, his son Ibrahim passed, there was an eclipse. People at that time, they didn't know the laws, how the eclipse, how they work, these things. They thought it's because the Prophet said. The Prophet came over and explained to them that the sun and the moon having eclipse, that has nothing to do with the death of anyone. The Prophet refused to take advantage of the ignorance of the people. But believing in the message has something more. Divine leadership, another difference when it comes to divine leadership and secular leadership. Divine leadership embraces danger in the way of the mission. Divine leadership embraces danger in the way of the mission. We know about the struggle of Bilal. We remember the story of him still saying Ahad. We know about other companions, Khabbab, people being branded for saying La ilaha illallah. We know about women becoming shaheed, Sumayya becoming shaheed. But what about our Prophet? What was his sacrifice? His sacrifice, brothers and sisters, he says in one of the ahadith, Ma udhiya nabiyun mithla ma udhiit. No Prophet was tortured as I was tortured. No Prophet was tortured as I was tortured. Divine leadership embraces danger, doesn't run away from it. What did our Prophet do? In addition to the personal insults, in addition to the abuse, to the threats that our Prophet faced, one thing about divine leadership is this. Divine leadership suffers when it sees the followers suffering. Our Prophet is willing to put himself on the line. But divine leadership, when I see that the mu'mineen, the mu'minat are suffering because of their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is difficult for me to take. That is suffering for me. When Imam Hussein watches in Karbala, those people falling, each shaheed who falls, the Imam suffers with them. You should know this about your Imam also. Brothers and sisters, know this about your Imam also, that your Imam also feels for you. I want to give you a story and then talk about our Prophet. A story from the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen. There was a man named Rumayla. Rumayla says that when Imam was over there in Kufa, I was feeling very sick. I didn't feel like going to Salatul Jummah. I had a high fever. He says, on the day when Jummah approached Friday, I'm starting to feel better. I take ghusl. I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray behind my Imam. How many opportunities do we get? He says, I go over there in the middle of the khutbah, I start to feel sick again. I start to feel this fever again. I'm not feeling well again. He says, after the khutbah, I come to the Imam's residence. And the Imam says, I noticed you were sick. Rumayla is surprised. How would you? There's thousands of people there. What does it make a difference? One of the Shia is sick. The Imam says this, whenever one of you falls sick, we get sick. Whenever one of you is grieving, we grieve. When you make dua, we say ameen. When you don't make dua, we pray for you. Rumayla said, is that only for us who are here? He said, there's no mu'min in the east or the west who's hidden from us. So our Imam feels for us. So now what happens then? Our Prophet is suffering himself. He's also suffering because of his companions and what they're doing. But you know one sign of true leadership, divine leadership? It's when you put your beloved, your family, in the way of danger. If you really believe in this, not only are you willing to sacrifice yourself, but those who are nearest to you. They told Imam Hussein, you're going to Karbala, you take Abbas, you take those warriors, you go over and fight. But when they see him bring Zainab. So what about, where did he learn this lesson from? Where did he learn this lesson from? He learned this lesson from our Prophet. When he would go and he would immigrate and his daughter would be left behind in Mecca with those ruthless people. When our Prophet would go to meet the Christians, and the Christians, they said, we'll see what happens. We're going to see what happens. When they saw the Prophet come out with his nearest and dearest, they said, this is a real Prophet. He believes in this. So, now the thing is, and I want to wrap up very quickly, inshallah, I'll be listening to my dear friend, Sayyid and I, we go back to school together. We've seen each other now, maybe in person for the first time in 13 years. So inshallah, I want to give some time and inshallah to listen and benefit from his presence. I want to give one example from the life of the leader. For those of us who are treading in this path, what should we be like? What should we be expecting? This example is from when the leader was the representative of the Imam. The representative of the Imam. And he's going to the battlefront to deliver war reports from the front lines. What's really happening? What's going on? The leader goes with the head of the Revolutionary Guard in that particular area and is second in command. They're in a jeep. They go to the front lines. They're exploring the area. The local intelligence of the enemy informs them that the representative of Imam Khomeini is here. The guy who's telling this story is the second in command. He says that I didn't really know Aha at that time. He's the representative of Imam Khomeini. He's in the area. We're giving him a tour of the area. He says that we had a driver. So Aha is sitting in the front of the jeep, the vehicle. Myself, I'm sitting behind. He says that afterwards, we see that the enemy has informed them that he's in the area, and we see the enemy from three different directions. They're coming to cut us off. The driver in the jeep, imagine you have the representative of Imam Khomeini, you have the head of the Revolutionary Guard, you have the second in command. You are driving, the guy starts driving like a madman. He starts driving like a madman, trying to escape. Ayatollah Khamenei taps him on the shoulder. The guy is driving. What are you? He says. He explains to him, if we're meant to die, we're going to die. Relax. Slow down. We're going. The guy slows down a little bit until he sees the dust kicking up of the enemy personnel carriers, them swarming in. Again, he goes crazy. Again, the leader, this time he gets angry. And the guy himself who's telling the story, he said, myself, I'm like, why don't we go faster? Why doesn't he let him? Now look at what he says though. He says that at this time, Allah is sitting there, quiet, dignified, driving in the jeep. He said they did make it out, because he promised them. He said, look, then he explained to him afterwards. He says, if we were meant to die, we're going to die. If we're meant to get out, we're going to get out. But divine leadership, if you believe in Allah's promises, then you're able to have that sort of bravery under pressure. May Allah make all of us among the true followers of Imam al-Mahdi and help us to pass our test. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.